We don't want to go try. I just want to get
okay,
well.
Okay, so we're on the Gemara.
November 8, 9, 10.
On Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara has been discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a person stole an object from somebody else, so then he has an obligation. If he stole an object from somebody else and he swore falsely about it, he was confronted. The victim said, "Give me back the object that you stole from me." And he said, "I don't have it. I didn't steal it. I never saw you. Never saw your property. I have nothing to do with you." So the victim says, "Swear to me." He says, "I swear." So then it turns out that it was a false oath. He has to travel all the way to Madai, all the way to India, to return the object to the victim. So the Gemara said, it sounds like only if he swore, he would have to go all the way to India to return the object to the victim. If he didn't swear, so it was less of a sin, he wouldn't have to go all the way to India. So the Gemara says, who is that? Is that Rabbi Tarfon? Or is that the view of Rabbi Akiva? So we're here on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. So Gemara says, "El olam Rabbi Tarfon." Maybe it's really our Mishnah is really the view of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said that if a person stole from five people and he stole from one person out of five, he doesn't know from who, so he just takes the object and he returns, puts it down in front of them, and let them fight it out, you know, or let them figure out who's the one who he stole from. As long as he's willing to pay it back, that's already enough. So 1 second, so how come here he has to go much further? So the answer to the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon only said that where he didn't swear. Umod Rabbi Tarfon echadishtaba, but Rabbi Tarfon would admit that in our case, since he swore, he has to go further to make sure to return it. Therefore, he has to travel even to India to return it. My time, why if he swore, does he have to go further? The Amar Kakas, the Pasuk says, Lasher hu lo yitnanu biyomashmaso, to he it belongs to, he shall give it on the day of his guilt. So there's a stress, he has to give it to him, that it belonged to. He has to give it to the victim, to his very hands. When? On the day of his guilt, when he swore, then he has to go and give it all the way to his hands. Now, Rabbi Akiva, he holds, even if he didn't swear, Afa gavdolomishtaba, even if he didn't swear, kanis, the sages say, even though the Torah law would have only said if you swore, you have to make extreme efforts to give it back to the victim, even if you didn't swear, the sages made a fine and said you have to make extreme efforts to give it back to the victim. Asks the Gemara of Rabbi Tarfon, now according to Rabbi Tarfon, Mechdi. Let's take a look. Right, we explained that our Mishnah is saying that he has to swear, then he has to go all the way to Madai to return it. Hecha de Mishtaba, where he swore. If he swore, Lo Sagi de Lo Hoda, it must be, right, he swore, and then he admitted, and now he has to bring a carbon. So presumably he's the one who's admitting, right? He's volunteering, you know, I swore falsely. I'm sorry, I want to give it back. So if that's the case, Ma'iri v'nishba, so why does it have to be that he swore? Afilu b'lo shvua nami, Rabbi Tarfon, he's of the opinion that if a person volunteers that he stole, so he wants to get atonement, he has to make very great efforts to get atonement. The Tanya is learned in a brisa. Moder Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva says that if a guy stole from one of five and he doesn't know who he stole from, he has to give back five times to each one. He has to give back the amount. And Rabbi Tarfon says he just has to, you know, communicate to them that it's available. They can come get it. They have to figure out which one is the one who's entitled to get it. But Rabbi Tarfon would admit to Rabbi Akiva, Ba'omer l'shnayim gazalti, that if he volunteers the information, he says to two, I stole gazalti echad mikem money. I stole from one of you 100 coins. I don't know which one I stole from. So if he's volunteering it, so he's looking for atonement. No sin lazemana or lazemana. He has to give this one 100 coins and this one 100 coins. So if so, right? Shekvar hoda mi piatz, because he admitted on his own. So he's looking for atonement. Even though Bezdin can't force him to pay twice,
he would pay twice. So if so, why did our Mishnah say if he swears, he has to go all the way to Madai? If he admits already, he should be going all the way to Madai. And here we're talking about where he admitted. So how can you say our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon?
What happens if he is... took the money, he spent it, and he has no money to give nobody. So he becomes a slave of five of them?
No, he becomes sold as a slave to whomever will buy him, and that money goes to the victim.
Oh, I see. So one of these five is going to buy...
You know, not necessarily one of the five. Somebody will buy him.
Buy him, and then...
Proceeds.
And the proceeds will then go to the victims.
Rabbi, there's a choice here. If he goes to Madai, he gives back the original item, but if he chooses not to, then he pays the fine. Okay, is that a choice?
No. We're saying he has to go to Madai, because since he swore, he has to go to very great lengths to make sure to fix what he did.
So even he can't take on the fine, the additional?
No.
He has to go.
Yeah. El Amar Rava, so rather Rava suggested our Mishnah that says that if he swears, he has to go all the way to Madai to return that which he falsely swore about. Masnit, our Mishnah really is according to both Rabbi Tarfon and according to Rabbi Akiva. Shiny Masnisin, our Mishnah is different. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva argue where a guy stole from one of five and he doesn't know who he stole from. Now he wants to make amends, or the Bezdin wants him to make amends. But our Mishnah is different. Here he stole from somebody and then he swore falsely to that person. And Kevin Diyada, Leman Gazle, since he knows who he stole from, Ve'odile, and he admitted to that victim. Right? He says, you know, you're right, I stole from you. So, since the money can be returned to its owner, it's as if the owner of the money is telling him, the thief, let the money be for me in my hand. In your hand. In other words, you are watching the money for me. You're now the watchman over my money. So Hilkach, therefore, it works like this. Nishba, if he swore, Afal Gavda Ka'amarle, even though the victim is basically saying, you keep holding on to the money, you're watching it. Came into Bai Kapara, since he needs atonement for his oath. Lo Sagi Adamati Liyada, he has to travel all the way to Madai and make sure the money actually arrives in the victim's hands. Hello Ishtaba, but if he doesn't swear, have a gabe pikadon. Then the thief now becomes the watchman over that money. And fine, so he's watching it. Adasi v'shakli late, let the victims come and retrieve it. In other words, when is there an argument between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva where we don't know who the victim is? Right, a guy says, I stole from one of you. There were five of you here. I don't know which one I stole from. So all five say, you stole from me. So all five are trying to collect. Right. It's clearly not true. Only one of them was the victim. So, but he's claiming, they're all claiming that they're the victims.
But the other four,
that's right. So since you have four that are ganavim, in reality, he won't be able to return it to any of them. If one of the five comes and says, give it to me, he says, I don't know if it's you, maybe it's the other guy. The other guy comes, I don't know if it's you, maybe it's the other guy. So he's not really a watchman for the objects. He doesn't know who to return to. So that's where you have an argument. Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, he doesn't know, so let him hold on until some proof comes out. You know, he'll put the money aside, he'll put it down, and let the proof come out to see who's the one who's entitled to it. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to really get a kapar, you need to get an atonement. He made a problem for himself by stealing, let him give five times. So fine, that's where there's an argument because you don't know who the victim was. But in our Mishnah, we do know who the victim is. We know who the victim is. He knows who he stole from. The guy just is not around to return it to him. The guy is away in Madai. But he knows who he stole from. So when he knows who he stole from, once he admits, so basically the victim can always collect it because he knows who the victim is. The victim knows who he was. The victim knows who the perpetrator is. So once he admits that he stole, so now the money that he has is not really stolen money. It's a deposit.
He's watching the victim's money. The victim can come and reclaim it whenever he wants. So that's why if he didn't swear, so he doesn't need to do anything. He just holds on to it and let the victim come and reclaim it. But if he swore, he needs an atonement for the oath. If he needs an atonement for the oath, he has to travel all the way to Madai to return it. Says the next Gemara. Itmar we learned, right? So then the Mishnah talks about another issue. The Mishnah says that when a person has falsely sworn about a stolen object, so he has to go return that object to the victim. Lo yitin lo livno, he can't give it to his son, lo lishlucho, nor to his emissary, nor to the son or the emissary of the victim. He has to give it to the victim itself. Itmar, we learned there was a discussion amongst the Amoraim. Shliach she'asa be'edim. Let's say I have money that Reuven owes me, and I appoint witnesses. I appoint an emissary in front of witnesses. In front of witnesses, I appointed an emissary, and now that guy who was appointed in front of witnesses goes to Reuven to get the money for me. So Rav Chisda Amar Havi Shliach, if I appointed in front of witnesses, that means he's my representative. And therefore, if he gets the money from Reuven, and then while he's traveling from Reuven back to me, the money gets lost. So Reuven doesn't owe me anything, because Reuven already gave me the money. Because once he gave it to my shliach, it's as if he gave it to my hand. Rabba said, lo avi shliach. No, even though I appointed him in front of witnesses, nevertheless, if Reuven gave him the money and then the money was lost, Reuven still owes me the money. I haven't yet gotten my money back. So Rav Chisda Amar Havi Shliach, Rav Chisda says if an emissary was appointed in front of witnesses, he has the full status of a representative. Because Lahachi Tarchi Vukmi Be'edim, why did I go through such an inconvenience and such an effort of finding two witnesses and in front of witnesses saying, this is my man, to Lekubir Shusei, so that the money will be considered already in my domain once it comes to hit the hands of this emissary. But Rabba says, lo avi shliach, he's not considered a shliach. Because Achikamar, all that I was accomplishing by appointing him in front of witnesses was that I was saying, Inish Mehemnahu, he is an honest man. Ismachta, I would rely on him. If you want to rely on him, you can also rely on him. Smoke, you can rely on him. And therefore, Yibayis Lishdur Biyadeh, Shadr Biyadeh, if you want to make him an emissary of yours, to send in his hand. But I'm never saying that when it comes to his hand, it's considered as if it came to my hand. It never did. So that's an argument.
What's he hiring witnesses for there and saying, this is my witness? The collector is the one hiring the witness here. How come that's not okay?
Because he didn't say the words, once it comes to his hand, it's as if it came to my hand. He didn't say that explicitly. He just said, this is my shliach in front of witnesses. Okay, shliach for what? We don't know. Maybe just saying, this is a guy you would rely on in other cases. Doesn't mean that he's your man. But it's not, because he didn't say the words that when it came to the hands of the shliach, it's as if it came to the hands of the victim. So now let's try to prove this question. We looked in a Mishnah in Masechet Bava Metzia. We know that a person who borrows an object, a shoel, is responsible to repay the object, even if the object gets killed or damaged through onsen, through things that are out of his control. So we looked at a Mishnah. Hashor l'sapara. Let's say I made a deal with David. I'm going to borrow David's cow on Monday. Monday morning, David's going to give his cow to me, and I'm going to borrow it. I'm going to plow with it in my field. So fine, we made the deal. Now it's Monday morning. Teshilcha biyad bino. And David gives the cow to his son to bring it to my house. Or biyad avdo, or to his slave to bring it to my house. Or biyad shlucho, or he gives it to his emissary to bring it to me. Or biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho shel shoel. Or he gave it to my son, or to my slave, or to my emissary. But it hasn't yet come to my house. It's just coming to my house through my son or through my emissary. Umesa. And then on the road, it dies. Drops dead. Pater, I, the borrower, do not have to replace the cow because I didn't get the cow yet. Now, one second. Hai shlucho hei chidami. He gave the cow to my emissary. How did he know that the guy was my emissary? If I had not appointed this emissary in front of witnesses, how do we know that he's an emissary? Must be that I appointed the emissary in front of witnesses. And then he gave him the cow, but it's not considered that it was given to me yet, because it hadn't arrived to me yet. Katani de Patr, it says that I'm exempt for paying for the dead cow, because the cow hadn't yet arrived to me. I hadn't yet gotten it. So Kashler of Chizda, that's against Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda says, an emissary appointed in front of witnesses, that's already a full-fledged emissary. Here you see it's not. So the Gemara says, no, Kedamer of Chizda, Rav Chizda will explain later, it wasn't an emissary appointed in front of witnesses. So if it's not an emissary appointed in front of witnesses, how did David know that that guy is really, you know, somewhat connected to me? I'll tell you how he knew. B'schiru Lakito. He was my employee or he was my roommate. So everybody knows that my roommate is, you know, with me, or everybody knows my employee is for me. So that's why he thought he could give it to him. But he wasn't an emissary. He wasn't appointed in front of witnesses. And he didn't have yet the status of me. So when he had the cow, it's not that I had the cow. The cow died before it came to me. I'm not responsible for the damages. So they say what Chizda is going to say in his case with an employee or a roommate. Here too it's referring to a roommate or a employee, but a shaliach in front of witnesses would be considered like the borrower himself.
Can we say that Sholcho always responsible if the other guy didn't get the object in general?
No,
if you did,
no,
receive it,
no, because once someone is a shaliach, then his hand is virtually the same as my hand. Whatever he gets, no, but it's considered that I did because shlucho shel adam kemoto. It's him. Tanan, we learned in another mishnah, our mishnah, that if I have a stolen object, lo yitin lo liv, no, I can't give it to the son of the victim. For lo l'shlucho, nor to the emissary of the victim, I have to return the object to the victim. Now, hay shlucho echidami, what's the case of the emissary of the victim? Idlo aso be'edim, if he hadn't appointed this emissary in front of witnesses, minayadin, and how do we know he's an emissary? Why should we even think to give it to him? Elolavda aso be'edim, must be he had been appointed with witnesses. So you see that even though someone is appointed in front of witnesses, he's not yet considered a representative. Rav Chizda said, no, that's not the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah was B'schiru Lakito. The person that I gave it to was the employee or the roommate of the victim of the theft. So one second. Avol Shliach She'aso Be'edimai. But if the victim of the theft had made an emissary in front of witnesses, then if I would give it to that person, Hachanami Davi Shliach, it would be as if I gave it back to the victim. Then I would have fulfilled my obligations. So then Adetani Sefer, so why did the end of the Mishnah say Avol Nosinu Shliach Bezdin? If I want to return a stolen object, I can give it to the emissary of the court, namely to the court's person. Who's the court's person? Someone who's appointed in front of the court. That is considered returning it. So why do I have to go that far? Liflug v'lisni b'didei, make the distinction already in a normal emissary and say like this, Shliach She'aso Be'edim. So if I gave it to an emissary who is made in front of witnesses, an emissary appointed in front of witnesses, then it's as if I gave it back to the victim. So why say if I gave it to an emissary appointed in front of a court, it's as if it went back to the victim? It could have given an easier case. An emissary appointed in front of witnesses would be as if it was given back to the victim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shluyach she'aso be'edim hachanami da'avi shliach. It's true that in shliach made in front of witnesses, an emissary appointed in front of witnesses, according to Rav Chizda, is an emissary. So why didn't the Mishnah say it? Ami, they answered in the yeshiva, lo psikale, because that wouldn't be as absolute a rule. The Mishnayos always love to give rules that are very straight. We don't have a lot of, you know, ifs, ands. This is the rule in all cases. So therefore, like this. Shliach Bezdin, the Mishnah said, I, the thief, can return it to the emissary appointed by the in front of Bezdin. Because then, lo shna aso nigzal, whether the victim appoints the guy in front of the Bezdin, for lo shna aso gazlin, or if the thief appoints the man in front of the Bezdin. Either case, if the victim appoints this man as his representative in front of the court, or if I, the thief, appoint this man as a representative in front of the court, it's considered a fine appointment. Avi Shliach.
That should not be a surprise, right? If you have a validly appointed Shaliach, why would it be a surprise that it is acceptable?
No, the point is that even though I, the thief, appoints him, it's already considered as if it came to the victim. Whereas Whereas shliach shaso beedim, so that's considered psikli. That's considered an absolute rule. But shliach shaso beedim, which, as we've said, according to Rav Chisda, is considered an emissary made in front of witnesses, is a representative. The kiaso nigzaludavi shliach. When is he a representative? If he had been appointed by the victim, so Goslin. If I, the thief, would appoint him in front of witnesses, lo avi shliach, that's not considered that it came to the hands of the victim. So lo psikale, that's not as absolute. And since that's not as absolute, it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. According to this, la fuke mehai tana, we're interpreting this Mishnah against the following tana. The tana, because we lived in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Shliach Bezdin, when the Mishnah said that a thief can return the object to the representative who has made a representative in front of the court, that's only Shaso Nigzal, that's only if the victim made him a representative. The Lo Aso Gazlan, but not if the thief made the representative. Oh, Aso Gazlan. Or it would mean if the thief made him a representative in front of the court, but v'shalach halo, but the victim also sent someone, v'natalet shalomi yado, and the victim's person took the object from the representative that I made in front of the court. Then, pater, then I would be exempt. But if I, the thief, make the representative in front of the court, by handing it to that representative, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, I wouldn't be exempt. And we're saying that our Mishnah is against Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, so this is the discussion about a shaliach. If I appoint a shaliach in front of two witnesses, what does it mean? Does it really mean that that man represents me? That if it's given to that man's hand, it's as if it was given to me? Maybe not. Maybe all it means is that that man is an honest man. I would trust him, but I'm not telling the thief that he needs to trust him to give it to him and to return it to me. The thief can still bring it himself. So we have other opinions also like this. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, two other Amoraim, Dami Tarvar, they both say, Shliach Shaso Be'edim, like Rav Chisda, if a Shliach was appointed in front of witnesses, Havi Shliach, he is a Shaliach. I v'im tomar Mishnah Senu. If you're going to challenge Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan with our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that a thief should not return the stolen object yet to the representative of the victim. If it's a representative of the victim, it's the victim itself. So what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is not talking about a shliach that was appointed in front of witnesses. If so, why is that guy here? B'mamtzi lo shliach. The case is where the victim said, proposed this shliach. Amalei. The victim says to this friend of his, Isli Zuzi Gabe Planya, Zev has money of mine. Veloka Meshada Luhu. And he's not sending it to me. Ischazile, go show up in front of Zev. You know, I trust you. Maybe Zev will also trust you. Dilma Inishu Dilo Mishkach Lishdurile. Maybe he's not finding any person that he can send the money with. So why don't you go and present yourself to Zev? But it's not an appointment in front of witnesses. An appointment in front of witnesses would be a real appointment. And then if Zev would give it to him, it's as if he'd give it to me. Inami, alternatively, could Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda said, b'schir lakito, that the Mishnah is talking about where it's the hired employee or the roommate of the victim, and that's why the thief thinks that he could be giving it to him. And the Mishnah is saying, I'm sorry, he hadn't yet given it to the victim. I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Ein mishalchin mos b'diyukni. Let's say an emissary comes on behalf of someone who I have his money. He comes to me, says, I'm representing Reuven. And the proof, here I have Reuven's signature. Reuven gave me something signed. So that means you're supposed to give me the money from Reuven. That's not enough. Even if there are witnesses underneath that signature saying that that's the signature of the guy who has deposited the money with me, still it's not enough reason to give the money to that man. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, if there are witnesses signed underneath that man's signature, and then already I can give the money to that man, and if something happens, I'm already exempt, because once I was relying on the signature of the owner, That's like relying on the owner's own word. And that's enough to know that the owner wants this man to be his representative, and therefore I am accepted. Amri, they said in the yeshiva, Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, who said that you can't give to a man who shows up saying he represents, you know, the depositor, even though the depositor signed underneath that piece of paper. So my takante. So what can the person do? What can he do? Answer the Gemara. Right? Is what could the depositor do to assure me that I can give it to his shaliach? Answer the Gemara. Ki ad Rabbi Abba. What he can do is like the story with Rabbi Abba. Like the following story. Rabbi Abba Vamaski Zuzi. Rabbi Abba had lent money with Rav Yosef Bar Chama, to Rav Yosef Bar Chama. And he couldn't go to Rav Yosef Bar Chama to get the money back. So Amalei Rav Safra, he told Rav Safra, Ba'adidasis, when you come back from Rav Yosef Bar Chama, I sit in the Ali, bring the money with you. Bring it to me. Kiyazalahasam, when Rav Safra went there to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, he asked that the money of Rav Abba be given to him. Amalei Rav Abre, so Rav, the son of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, said, Mikasavlach is kabalti. Okay, where is your document saying that you've been appointed, which would say in it, I, Rav Abba, declare that when the money comes to Rav Safra's hands, I consider it that I got the money, because I don't want to give you money and still be on the hook. Where's the document that says when you get the money, it's as if the guy who sent you got it? Amalei, so Rav Safra said, no, I don't have that document. So Rav, his son, said, Yachi Zilberesha. So go back, v'yichtav loch is kabalti, and get that document that will say that once, that Rav Abba, who's appointing you, is saying, I'm sorry, Rav Safra, who's appointing you, is saying that once the money comes to your hand, he got it. Then he changed his mind. The Sofa Malay said, you know, even that wouldn't be enough. Why? Because v'yichtav loch nami is kabalti, even if he would say in the document that the money is considered your, considered in his hands, once it's in your hands, lav klumi, that wouldn't be enough for me. Why? Dilma da'asis, maybe by the time you come back with that document, shachiv Rav Abba. Rav Abba's an old man, he might die. If he's dead, nafal zuzi, come he ask me, this money that we owe Rav Abba, now we're going to owe to his children, to his orphans. This kabalti de Rav Abba lav klumi. So the fact that the father said that you're the representative, that when the money comes to you, it's as if it came to him, is meaningless, because he's not going to be alive. And now it's going to be a debt to the children. The children never said that the money coming to you is as if it came to them. And I don't want to still be on the hook once I give you the money. So Amar Leiser of Safra said, okay, so what do you want me to do? Velamai Takante, you know, what can we do? So what can we do to get this money back for Rav Abba? What am I supposed to do? Even if I go back and I get a document, it's not going to be good enough. How am I going to get Rav Abba's money back for him? So Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, said like this, Zil, go back to Rav Abba. Nikninu lach agav ara. Let him transfer ownership of land to you. And we have a rule that we learned back in Maseches Kiddushin called Kinyan Agav, that when a person acquires land, by dint of acquiring land, other things can also be acquired. Movables get acquired because a person's acquiring the land. So let him give you land, and then by dint of the land, you will acquire the debt. Then you can come here, we'll give you the money, because it's your money. Then you'll go back and you'll give him the money. V'ta'at, and you'll come. Ksov lon his kabalti. You can write to us the receipt that you got the money and it's your money. And then we'll be giving you the money because we won't be on the hook once we give it to you. Ki other Rav Papa, as we know, there was such a story with Rav Papa. Have a masik tracer alpha zuzi bechozai. He once had lent 12,000 zuz to a guy who was living in this place, this town called Bechozai. Now he couldn't get it back. He wasn't there. So what did he do? Akninu niyalei l'Rav Shmuel Bar Abba agav haseifa debesa. He gave to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba the front porch of his house.
You know, he had Rav Shmuel Bar Abba give him a coin for the front porch of his house. Then he said, by dint of you acquiring the land, you're also acquiring this money that's owed to me. Now it's owed to you. And then Rav Shmuel Bar Abba went to Bechuzai. They gave the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba because they knew once they're giving it to him, they're going to be off the hook. Because that's it, they paid it. Then when Shmuel Bar Abba came back to Rav Papa, he said, okay, I know you gave me the money because you wanted me really to give it back to you. I'm giving it back to you. And Kiyasa, when he came and he gave it to Rav Papa, Nafak La'apayat Tavach. Rav Papa was so excited, he went out to greet him all the way to this place, Tavach.
So the debtor would get the evidence that indeed the money had been conveyed to the Shaliach.
Right? There must be a document with witnesses, exactly.
But doesn't that make that worse for the children?
Why? Well, we assume he's a righteous man like Rav Abba, he's going to give it back. Then the Mishnah dealt with the issue that when a man falsely swears, and then he admits that he falsely swore, so he has to pay back the principal plus a fifth, and he has to bring a carbon. So the Mishnah said, Nasan lo asakaren, if he paid the principal. But then he didn't pay the fifth. For the paying of the fifth, he doesn't have to go all the way to Madai to repay. Alma, you see from the whole Mishnah that Chomesh Mimonahu, that added fifth is treated as a full monetary obligation, not just as something which would be nice to get atonement. And therefore, Emias, if the thief were to die, Meshami LeYorshim, those who inherit the thief have to pay that fifth because it's an obligation. It's not Nami Yosalim, further on than the Mishnah. Nasan Asakaren, if he paid the principal. But then Nishba Alachomash, he swore falsely about the fifth that he didn't owe it. And then he admits about that. Are Mosef Chomash al Chomash, he has to add a fifth to the fifth. Again, you're seeing Chom Shemimonahu, that the fifth is a monetary obligation. V'tan Nami Yosalim, you also have a Braisa. If a person steals from his friend and he swears falsely that he didn't steal from him, and then he admits, Umeis, and then the thief dies. Yorshin, those who inherit the thief, Misham and Karen Vachomish, they have to pay the principal and the fifth. Turim and Ashman, they have to bring a carbon. So Yorshin b'nei Shlume chum shadavunu. So you see that again, the orphans have to pay the fifth. Why? Must be that the fifth is a monetary obligation, and since it's a monetary obligation, they inherit that responsibility.